Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm so excited to be back. It's been a minute. It's been a minute. You know, I recently found out that 2025 was the year of the snake and that 2026 is the year of the horse. And honestly, that timeline could not feel more accurate for what this season of my life has been like. And if you're like me, I know nothing. I don't follow the zodiac sign or like the horoscopes or whatever. So this means that, just if, in case you don't know, if you don't follow it like me, just bear with me for a second. So for me, this means that like 2025 was a year of like quiet shedding things, carrying things silently, a year where so much was happening underneath the surface, even if from the outside, I probably looked like I had it all together and I was functioning. I was pushing through. I did what needed to get done. But 2026, oof, 2026 came in fast. It came in with this speed. It came with emotion and a lot of firsts. A lot of firsts. It also came with a lot of like new routines. And me facing parts of myself that I thought I had already worked through. And also me realizing that some of the weight I carried in 2025 never really left. I just got really good at carrying it. And I think that's why this year felt so different, because it hasn't been busy. It's just been personal. Does that make sense? It's been like the kind of season that like forces you to look at your life differently. Have you ever had those? You're like, wait, everything is different. Like right now I'm looking at my daughter and she's like, she's growing up like so fast. Time is moving. My identity is shifting. And I just keep showing up the same way. So yeah, there have been so many emotional layers to all of this. And so many moments where I felt like life was just asking me to catch up to the version of myself that I hadn't fully made peace with yet. So yeah, it's definitely been a minute. And honestly, I didn't expect it to be away for this long, but I really needed this space. I really just needed time to think. I needed time to process, to be really honest about what was actually working and what's going on in my life before I just jump back here and act like everything is great. Everything is just business as usual. Because it wasn't, and a lot has changed. So I've been, let me take a sip for a second. Hold on. Need a sip for this one. I've been on a real mental health journey lately. I've been learning how to slow down, try not to carry everything at once, and also how to face certain fears, which I realized I actually had a ton of them. And I had to get really honest with myself about what was draining me mentally, physically, and spiritually. And one of the biggest things was expectations. Expectations really took a toll out of me, because every time you expect life, people, or situations to go one way and then they go another way, Mrs. Disappointment is right there waiting. And she will chip away at you little by little. So the crazy part is that I've never really thought of myself as someone who expects much. I've always been like the type to say, I don't expect anything. I never let myself get too far ahead. And I don't jump to conclusions because I already know how disappointment is going to feel. But I also think that mindset belonged to an older version of me, a version of me that from another season, before motherhood, before life stretched me in the ways that it has. I am not the same person anymore. And I think for a long time, I've been fighting that instead of just accepting it. My identity has changed. Motherhood 100% has changed me. And part of healing is finally accepting that the woman I am now, instead of holding myself to the version of me I used to be. And I'm realizing that now, that just because I had no, you know, I said I had no expectations doesn't mean that they weren't there. It's almost like that movie in Inside Out when like those marbles are like tucked away in the back of your mind and you don't even realize that they're there until one gets triggered and rolls forward. And then you think, wait a minute, I'm fine. Like, you're fine. But then you think, wait a minute, this doesn't, you know, something doesn't actually happen the way that you hoped. And then suddenly that marble pops back right back up. And then now it's right in your face. And then you realize that there was something there all along. You brushed it along. So expecting life, excuse me, to get easier, expecting people to move how I would move, expecting peace to come after I'm feeling all this pressure is completely unrealistic. So that's what I'm learning about. I'm learning that healing is not really about pretending I expect nothing. It's about learning how to release what I can't control, which is a fight I know I'm never going to win. And honestly, this is not even a religious thing. I'm just saying that, you know, I'm just saying that it's really just about acceptance, accepting life for what it is, accepting that not everything is mine to fix, to force, to predict, to carry. And I think in this world, we expect too much. We hold on too hard. And we try to control way more than we're meant to. And that's exactly why so many of us are so exhausted, especially us moms. That's why one of the biggest shifts for me has been returning to church after like 20 years. And I wasn't trying to like look holy or become someone else. It was just really about realizing that I needed peace more than I needed control. I didn't even fully realize how disconnected I was until I started reconnecting again. Once I did, I met this community of moms that had no idea were going through the same things as me. And that really hit me hard because for a long, long time, I really thought I was supposed to just handle it, keep going, push through. You know, you never drop the ball. You never drop the ball. And I had been caring so much for so long that burnout started to feel normal. Being mentally drained felt normal. Feeling like I was behind in my own life was normal. And somewhere in all of that, I started expecting way too much of myself. That's what the perfectionist in me does. I expected myself to do everything well, to hold everything together, and keep moving no matter how tired I was or stressed out or whatever. And that kind of pressure really does disconnect you because it makes you believe that your value is in how much you can carry. And I think that's where I've been for a long time. So reconnecting with this group of women reminded me that I'm not alone. And I think one of the hardest things I had to admit to myself is that I needed a community detox. I sure did. Let me take another break sip here. I needed a community detox. And I think that hurts in a different kind of way because when you know you're showing up with a good heart, and this was me before I found this amazing community of moms, I was trying to fit into other groups that just were not my tribe. You know, and that's what I mean. You know, you're showing up with a good heart. You're trying, you know, that you're not a bad person. So it kind of stings when you start realizing you're still not fully being embraced. It stings when the invites stop coming. It stings when you can feel people moving without you. And at first, I did take it personal, not gonna lie. I had those moments where I was just wondering and I'm like, wait a minute, was it me? Did I do something wrong? Like, why am I not connecting with these women? I'm not a bad person. But the actual reality of all of that is that it's not like a dramatic answer. It's not like there was like a, you know, they were plotting against me. It was just as simple as it was just a misalignment. It's not your tribe. Simple misalignment. Another break. Sorry. I need a break. And even with some of the moms at my daughter's school, I had to be really honest with myself. It's just not that kind of space. the moms at my daughter's school, it's not that kind of space. I'm friendly with one of them because she's best friends with my, you know, her daughter's best friends with my daughter. But for the most part, for other moms, we're just polite. We say hi, but everybody just keeps moving. There's no real sense of community there. It's not supposed to be a bad thing. I'm just saying that school drop-offs and pickups, they're hell. It's pure hell. These moms, these parents are peeling out of that parking lot like their life depends on it. Literally. Nobody's gathering. Nobody's trying to build anything. And everybody is just trying to survive the schedule at that school and survive the day. And I get it. I totally get it. So because, and I say this because a lot of people say, well, you're around women, you're around moms. Like, why don't you just like make friends with them? Just because I'm around women or moms doesn't mean I'm in a community. And that's why finding this group of moms at my local church hit me so deeply. Like because it felt so different in a really good way, in a really, really good way. I don't even mean this in a super religious way. Like, yes, they have faith and it's part of it. But what really moved me about this local church group was that we talk about everything, like the real stuff, the heavy things, the motherhood stuff. Like we talk about guilt, identity, all of that, and we help each other. And that made me realize that I wasn't asking for too much, right? I don't want to gossip every day about Michelle from next door. By the way, Michelle's a fictitious person. It's a fake person. I just don't want to gossip every single day. And those things leak into your life. I was just going and asking in all the wrong places. That's why I was in the wrong groups and the wrong tribe. And it's huge. That was a real big thing for me. And this is what this season has been teaching me, that not every room is mine. Not every woman or mom is my tribe. Not every space that looks social is actually safe. And not every connection is meant to go deeper. It's not personal. And that's okay. It's okay. So yeah, I needed a community detox. And I think being in the right room started really leaking into my life in a good way and teaching me a lot about alignment, about what really fits, what doesn't, what drains me, what actually feels true. And that same question started showing up in other areas of my life too, not just in community, but in my work as well. And that's what led me into this new version of myself. So for full context about this new version of myself, you probably saw the short on Instagram. Hold on, another break. Another sip break. You guys probably saw the short in my Instagram about Second Shift Marketing. It's my new agency, it's my new identity, it's my new self. And this all came about because I was listening to Reese Witherspoon in a short. And I hope I'm not misquoting her, but she basically said, do what you're good at, not like just your passion, but what you're actually talented at. And that one line made me stop for a second. I'm like, wait a minute. Because I started thinking, I'm really good at branding. I'm really good at marketing. People are always calling me about tech, how to run ads, systems, messaging, you know, funnels, that sort of thing, and how to make their brand make sense, PR, whatever. And for the longest time, I kept brushing it off for like a whole 2 years because to me, it felt easy. It was like, isn't this like obvious? Isn't this basic things that you would need? But what was easy to me might not have been easy to you, and vice versa. What's easy to you might not be easy to me. And that's when I realized I had been missing a huge piece of myself. I had overlooked one of my real, real strengths because it came so naturally to me. So I really took a step back. I was like, okay, I need to stop. I can't record. I can't do anything. And I just got really honest about what made sense for me this season. And that's when I realized a marketing agency was the right move for me. It wasn't random. It was actually me finally waking up and paying attention to what's been there all along. And even in this podcast, I love this podcast. 9 to 5 Mom with a Pod is a perfect example of that. For a while, it meant so much to me, and it still does because I'm still doing it. Because this represents my story. I'm a working mom trying to build something of her own. You know, it all started with me working a 9 to 5 and creating a space for myself while doing this creative work, while life was lifing. It has heart, it has meaning. And I think for a long, long time, that title carried exactly where I was in that season, which is fine. But if I'm being honest, there was also this little gray area hanging over me, like, where is this all going? Because the truth is, I do love this podcast side of it. Like, I love talking, I love interviewing. I'm still getting better at that. I love prepping. I love getting better at it and learning more. But I also had to admit something else. I'm also a businesswoman. And I think that was a big realization for me. Not just that I like creating, not just that I like connecting, but that I genuinely love business. I love ideas. I love strategies, emails. I love emails and meetings. I could do it all day. I love figuring out how something works, how it can grow, how I can make money, how I can position it better, how I can reach the right people. And I love sales. Oh my gosh, I love sales, which is crazy because if I would have said that 10 years ago, if I would have told myself, you know, about sales, I'd be like, absolutely not. That would have sounded so horrible and pushy to me. I'm like, I'm never doing sales. That's so uncomfortable and so cringe. But again, different season, different version of me. And when I look back now, it's actually kind of wild because every job I've ever had was leading me to this the whole time. I had an accounting job where I had to understand numbers and structure. I had sales when I worked at the modeling agency where I had to learn people, positioning, communication. And then I was a paralegal later on in my life where I had to be sharp and detailed and strategic and think three steps ahead. And none of these were random. It was at the time. At the time, I was like, where is all this going? Like, my resume is all over the damn place. But it wasn't random today, now that I see the full picture of it. And I was great at every single job that I've ever done. I was great at it. I just didn't know how to piece it together. Sometimes I'm like, I don't want to be all accounting. I don't want to be all sales. I don't want to be all paralegal and strategic or whatever. How can I combine those? Become a businesswoman. I surprise myself every single day because the wild part is that this thing has been second shift marketing has been open for less than a month and I already have clients. When I told my PR person Laura, she's like, oh, okay, cool, like you're starting like something new. And then when I told her on the next meeting, literally 2 weeks later, oh yeah, I already have a clients, a system, a workflow, everything is running. And she's like, what? And it shocks me too. It shocks me too, because one thing is to go out there and say, this is what I'm going to do. Or maybe because this is what I'm good at, so I'm going to try to do it. And maybe this makes sense. But it's another thing to actually just move it, launch it, and then have people immediately say yes to it. It does something to you. It's like a confirmation. It confirms a lot. So it made me realize, like, wow, I'm not making this up. I'm not just saying to say it. I am not reaching. I'm not trying to force a title that doesn't fit. This is real. This is what I'm actually good at. And maybe everything I've done up until now really was already building towards this. So yeah, I've been surprising myself in the best way. In the best way. So I guess if there's anything to take away from all of this is that sometimes the version of your life you're trying so hard to hold on to is not wrong. It's just no longer complete. Sometimes you outgrow yourself, the pressure, the people, expectations, and even the identity you once thought you had to keep proving. And that doesn't really mean you failed. See, that's a myth. It just means that you're changing. And I think that was really tough for me for this season as well. It's been about accepting that, accepting that I can love where I've been and still want more. It's accepting that I can be grateful for this podcast and admit that this led me to somewhere bigger. Accepting that I can also be a mom, a creative, and also a businesswoman. Slow down, because I also need to integrate peace into that. Peace also matters. Alignment matters, and community matters. It does take a village. And that maybe the best thing that you can do for yourself is just stop fighting who you're becoming. Stop it. I did it, and look at where I ended up. Sometimes burnout is just not burnout. It's a sign. It's the gray area. It's actually the gray area that's leading you to a transition. And sometimes what feels really confusing is just really God, life, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't have to be religious. Something is trying to get your attention. So if things feel unclear to you or heavy or you're confused, just don't force it. Maybe the answer is just to pause and ask yourself, what is this season trying to show me? What am I actually good at right now? If, you know, you're trying to discover what you're trying to do. And what no longer fits anymore. Because those questions will really change a lot for you. And if you think real clearly, the takeaway from all of this is that you don't have to have it all figured out. When something is trying to pull you into a direction, just let it take you there. Because you do have to be honest enough to listen. You have to be open enough to listen to yourself. This is a new chapter for me, for you, for everybody. Just less forcing, more alignment, community and otherwise. Less trying to prove, you know, build what's already in you. And if there's only, like, if there's one thing I know, it's that sometimes the thing you thought was the whole story, it was just a little piece. It was the tip of the iceberg. I'm happy to be providing these experiences with you. So just keep going. You're doing great. Thank you for listening to me, by the way. That actually does mean a lot. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being an audience to me. I don't know where I would be if you guys weren't listening to all the crazy shit that I've been going through. But I'm very happy that you're here. And I can't wait for you guys to see what is coming next. So I'm excited about that. Anyway, thank you for being here, and I'll see you soon. See you next time.